to the Parents
Linking
Show
the community
on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parents Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Hi, welcome to The Parent Show. I'm Cathy Weston, joined in the studio by...
me, Lorenza Pacino.
Lorenza Pacino, she's here. Everybody's excited. Thank you, Lorenza. And we've also got a lovely guest in our studio tonight, Francesca Barber, who we'll be hearing from a little bit later on. So, Lorenza, what are we talking about tonight on The Parent Show?
Food, 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 and children, and issues with food and how to make children like and try and be a bit more adventurous.
So people are looking for solutions.
Yes, creative solutions. And I've earlier in the week, I caught up with the CEO of the Slow Food Movement, but I won't say too much more because she actually explains what it is herself.
Yeah, so, we've got a pre-record with her, with Kat Gazzoli, which hopefully we'll hear now.
Food. Thanks for finding time to join me and talk about your Slow Food Kids and Slow Food Baby programs. First of all, for those listeners who aren't familiar with Slow Food, give us a bit of background to the movement.
Sure. Well, Lorenza, Slow Food was started in a small little town in Piedmonte, Italy, 20 years ago. And since then, it has grown phenomenally to 150 countries around the world, of which UK is one of the leading ambassadors of the slow food movement, especially on the education side. We have an office in Covent Garden in London, and we're responsible for slow food work throughout Great Britain.
And what is the ethos behind slow food?
Well, I mean, obviously, in a nutshell, it's promoting the antithesis of what fast food and fast life is, and what the consequences are, such as crappy junk food, consumption of processed foods that doesn't have a lot of nutrition, etc. So slow food's ethos is around taking the time to cook, eat well, think about the story of the food on your plate, make decisions based on that as a consumer, but all of that goes back to the
Sorry about that. We've just had a little problem. We've just had a little problem, which we're just going to try and fix.
CEO of Slow Food, thanks for finding time to join me and talk about your Slow Food Kids and Slow Food Baby programs. First of all, for those listeners who aren't familiar with Slow Food, give us a bit of background to the movement.
Sure. Well, Lorenza, Slow Food was started in a small little town in Piedmonte, Italy, 20 years ago. And since then, it has grown phenomenally to 150 countries around the world, of which UK is one of the leading, let's just say, ambassadors of the slow food movement, especially on the education side. We have an office in Covent Garden in London, and we're responsible for slow food's work throughout Great Britain.
And what is the ethos behind slow food?
Well, I mean, obviously, in a nutshell, it's promoting the antithesis of what fast food and fast life is, and what the consequences are, such as crappy junk food, consumption of processed foods that doesn't have a lot of nutrition, etc. So slow food's ethos is around taking the time to cook, eat well, think about the story of the food on your plate, make decisions based on that as a consumer, but all of that goes back to the big...
Dear, sorry about that. One of our interviews has stuck. We have to pre-record, but unfortunately it doesn't seem to be working. We'll try and amend it. In the meantime, Francesca, would you like to tell us a little bit about your cookery school, which has arrived in St. Albans?
Yes, thank you, Cathy.
Little Cookies is an opportunity for children to learn about food in a fun way, either through the classes I run or birthday parties.
What age group is it aimed at?
The classes are for, I run two types, the preschoolers, so 3 and 4 year olds, and then I run a class for junior school children at St Albans St Stephen's School. So that will cover anybody that, within the junior school.
Okay, how did it all begin? Why did you start doing this?
When my children were preschool age, they were extremely fussy eaters. And it would have been a great support to me as a mother to have had something like Little Cookies to go to with them. Therefore, when my youngest child was about to start school, I was thinking of returning to work. And as I'm passionate about food, I thought, why not? And so Little Cookies was born.
Where was your inspiration, though? What? How did you think of the idea? I know you had fussy eaters, but then where did you draw your ideas from?
I think just being a mum. I was volunteering in the school, reading with the children, and worked in the nursery as well, and as a volunteer. Knew I enjoyed working with kids. I was picking up ideas as to what they do with them, and I just thought, put together a program to get them into learning about food. Mm.
So when a parent enrolls their child in the Little Cookies, what can they expect? What happens?
Okay. Essentially, the child will learn about different foods and how to cook them. So each week, a different theme forms the basis of the class. It's always a seasonal food. The children learn about it through the cooking activity, which they are supported by their accompanying adult.
So the parents have to come along too?
It's yes, they do. They're 3 and 4 year olds. Yeah. The junior school parents aren't involved.
Right.
So they're supported by the parent for the cooking activity. Mm. We always start the class with the craft activity.
With food always?
No, it's usually a colouring or sticking activity.
Just to relax them and get them into the mood, waiting
for everyone to arrive. And then once what they've made, mostly it needs cooking in an oven. So we all gather together on a rug and we look at the food we've cooked with, learn a bit about where it comes from. It's really important that they don't just think it appears in plastic in the supermarket. So they learn that it's grown or where flour comes from, the wheat. We discuss that. There's always something for them to taste at that point. I really encourage them to taste and smell the food.
Do they?
They do.
You do get reluctant
ones, but I always give them the reward of a sticker at the end of the class.
Oh, yes.
And they love collecting stickers.
What activities have you found that the children enjoy most in your classes then? What's the real inspiration for them?
Well, they love using rolling pins.
For food or to hit each other?
I haven't had any accidents with them. So making pastries ideal. A few of them aren't so keen on getting their hands dirty at the beginning, rubbing the butter and flour together.
But they do like
their rolling and cutting out the pastry. And then a few weeks ago, we made a lemon cheesecake. So they were all having great fun bashing a bag of digestive biscuits with the rolling pin, it started off with them gently tapping, and by the end it was like a thunderstorm going on in the hall.
So it's all a game.
Absolutely.
And have you got any nice stories, any children that were particularly difficult who you've managed to turn around and who are now kind of much more adventurous?
Well, I've had several parents phoning me up saying, I'm desperate because my child will only eat bread and pasta, or will only eat one vegetable and nothing else, or just bread and jam. So a way of encouraging them to taste, every child that joins is given a tasting passport. And so they take the passport home, and any new food that they've tasted, and it doesn't matter if they've liked it or disliked it, they get it written in. And at the end of each class every week, we as a group, we go through the book and we tell everybody what they've been tasting that week.
Do they get a bit competitive about it?
Oh, absolutely. Then? And it's by the end of the term, if they haven't finished their book, they're not happy. Others have, and they love collecting the stickers in there. And I'm not saying it works for all children, because not everyone has been turned, but quite a few parents have said thank you. It's my child is just so much more adventurous now.
But in your experience, why are children so reluctant? I mean, we're all parents, and we've all had this, most of us have had this issue. Why is it the bread and pasta, and it's so difficult to break out of those boundaries?
I don't know.
Is it our fault? What are we doing?
It is a very difficult, because each child is different. Mm. And some children, although they've made the food, they won't taste it.
Despite the fact they've been actively involved,
they know what's gone into it. They just don't enjoy the tasting side of things. They love the making, not the tasting. Textures. I mean, it's very difficult for them to explain at that age what it is about a food they don't like. Mm. Some just take a dislike to the colour. Mm. And I mean, it is just trial and error and just encouraging.
You were saying also a lot of the children don't like getting their hands dirty.
Yeah.
That's kind of indicative of our whole outlook on life as well, though, isn't it? We've changed our attitude to what is dirty, and everything's all sort of sanitised. So we're not encouraged to just get our hands dirty.
Exactly. And I think partly as well, it's about our approach to food at home. Mm. I mean, if they see their parents cooking and getting them involved in the kitchen from an early age can be very helpful. Not everyone has got the skills to be able to get their child involved. Some people, just the thought of the mess afterwards, it just puts them off getting their kids involved.
It's a terrible shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we're losing out on so much wonderful stuff and the whole cultural things, because, of course, food from other countries is so interesting. And if you won't even eat what you're familiar with, you're never going to...
That's
right. It's
going
to be really difficult to move outside the box and enjoy other countries' foods. And then you're losing a whole other area.
Exactly.
So, how much is it for a child to enrol, and how can people get in touch with you then?
Okay. I have a website, www.little-cookies.co.uk. There's my email address on there, so you can either email me or phone me. The contact number's on the website as well. The classes run at the Charles Morris Hall on Tuesdays. They've actually just stopped now. This week was the last class until the autumn.
So you'll pick up in September, will you?
That's right, yes. The first taster session is free, so people can come and try it out. And then if your child enjoys it and you're happy, then you can sign up for a minimum of a half term or a full term. If the charge for a half-term booking, it works out at £8.75 a session, and there is discount for a full-term booking. That will cover absolutely everything.
So you provide the ingredients?
I provide
and all
the
that sort
ingredients,
of thing.
Aprons, equipment, packaging to take the food home in.
Okay.
So all you have to do is provide the child.
Francesca, we'll just have a little break. Thank you very much for that. We'll play a little bit of In Excess and come back to you, hopefully as well, with the interview that we promised earlier with Kat Gazzoli. We'll give it a shot. Join us back at the Parents Show after In Excess. Welcome back to The Parent Show with me, Cathy Weston.
And me, Lorenza.
And you, Lorenza Pacino. And Frances Barber, thank you for telling us all about your little cookies business there. That was very, very interesting. Always nice to have a local perspective. We are hoping, we've got our fingers crossed, that we are able somehow to play the interview previously, which we had recorded with Kat Gazzoli. So fingers crossed, luck of the Irish to us all. I'm going to press up the magic button and hope that you can all hear this at home.
Join me and talk about your Slow Food Kids and Slow Food Baby programs. First of all, for those listeners who aren't familiar with Slow Food, give us a bit of background to the movement.
Sure. Well, Lorenza, Slow Food was started in a small little town in Piedmonte, Italy, 20 years ago. And since then, it has grown phenomenally to 150 countries. around the world, of which UK is one of the leading, let's just say, ambassadors of the slow food movement, especially on the education side. We have an office in Covent Garden in London, and we're responsible for slow food's work throughout Great Britain.
And what is the ethos behind slow food?
Well, I mean, obviously, in a nutshell, it's promoting the antithesis of what fast food and fast life is, and what the consequences are, such as crappy junk food, consumption of processed foods that doesn't have a lot of nutrition, etc. So, slow food's ethos is around taking the time to cook, eat well, think about the story of the food on your plate, make decisions based on that as a consumer, but all of that goes back to the bigger, harder issues I just mentioned, which have to do really with junk food, food that doesn't have nutritional value, and in turn, the obesity crisis. So slow food's ethos around taking the time to eat and cook translates into what we hope is a game changer for parents in how they decide to feed their children.
Okay, so you've started a Slow Food Baby and a Slow Food Kids program. Why did you start that?
Well, I mean, 3 years ago, when we set up Slow Food in the UK, we really said, well, what is needed and how can we make a difference? It's a great movement. It's a great idea and philosophy, but Britain being Britain, and rightfully so, you know, what are the tangible products or experiences we could do for parents and kids? And the board of Slow Food and I felt very strongly that what needed to be focused on was education and interactive education. So we felt that a huge gap was around basically the period when right around the weaning times to 2 years. So what was out there for parents, other than, you know, some books that had been published by authors on the principles behind eating and learning about food when a child is just learning to eat or becoming an eater? So we decided to work on a concept called Slow Food Baby. Our partner is the National Childbirth Trust, and we've been piloting it with different focus groups around the country, including in London.
Okay, tell me on a practical level, what is the program and how does it work then?
So, first of all, just to give you a sense of the feeling of it, Lorenza, it's happy eating. It's Slow Food Baby Happy Eating. It's a 3-hour interactive workshop. We take a maximum about 20 parents or caretakers, and it goes through the slow food ethos in the principles of those first foods for your baby. The parents, it is typically parents, of course, a mix of dads and moms who come with their child. So we have like a play mat in the middle. It's interactive. And there's a trainer who goes through 3 hours of material.
And what do the babies and the parents get to do then if it's interactive?
Sure.
What are they interacting with?
Well, we have something called a taste. One example of that is the taste adventure is within the slow food baby experience, which we're going to talk about in a second, because we do the slow food kids taste adventure for older children. And learning from kids between 3 and about 10, really enjoying learning about the 5 senses, we took our concept of a taste adventure for older children and put it in Slow Food Baby. Amazingly, because parents actually enjoyed learning about the 5 senses. So we have a stations about the 5 senses, so like crunchy, smelly, all about how to use your eyes and your ears to understand food and how the senses play a part in your eating experience. Another aspect of Slow Food Baby is the parents talking with each other, talking with our trainer about challenges they're having and sharing those with each other and with the trainer, and then a slow food response on handling some of those issues.
You mentioned you've also got a Slow Food Kids that's aimed, I understand, at children between 4 and 11.
interestingly, you know, we did one in London, and it was, you know, a lot of three-year-olds because they just love to touch everything. So we typically have a little, you know, two kids who are siblings, and they both enjoy it in different ways, you know, if there's a two-year age difference. But it's everything from three actually to 10, because it's quite a flexible experience. So Slow Food Kids is a taste adventure of learning those five senses. And it takes between like 20 minutes and a half an hour. We take it to festivals around the country, and the child and their parent, or the babysitter or caretaker, typically also sometimes it's the teacher, we work with a lot of school groups, go through this taste adventure to learn about the senses and how that has to do with their food. And there's, it's like a game. They get a little passport, and then there's slow food volunteers behind each station.
And are there particular textures or tastes or flavors that you use in the programs, or that are more successful with getting kids to try new things?
Because yeah,
I'm a parent myself, and it's a nightmare sometimes. Yeah. I can't bear it. I spend all this time cooking this stuff, and then they don't like it, and you just think, oh,
no, sure.
You know, well, kind of lose the will to live.
One of the things I love about Slow Food Kids is parents giving us excellent suggestions afterwards, after they experience it, on exactly what you just said, some of their issues, but more importantly, what they think we could change or add to Slow Food Kids to make it even be more helpful. But yes, there's little bags, and inside the bag, there's all these questions that our volunteers talk to the child about, and then the child like feels the texture. So sometimes it could be barley or pasta. We have all different kinds of fruit and vegetables they have to identify. And if we know it's a slightly older child, the children age range is older, we'll change it based on, you know, how little the children are. But mostly they get a little sticker for each section that they go through. And obviously the younger the child, the parent helps more.
How many children do you estimate that have undertaken these experiences?
Yeah. I mean, up to right now, last year we did about 40 festivals and around 13,000 children.
So this is across the country, not
just
London.
Yeah, not just London.
Like,
yeah. And then this year, we're being quite strategic about it because we've gotten so many requests for it, and it is a free experience, and that's thanks to Grana Padano, which is our headline supporter for this, and I think I would like to talk about that in a second, because we're also introducing kids to cheese through this experience, which is being extremely popular, of course, not just with the kids, but with the parents, because it's a DOP, really delicious cheese. So what happens is the children go through the section with their parents, and we've done it recently with Grana Padano in Norwich for, that was about 3,000 children. We took it to a festival in London recently as well, all kinds of kids of all kinds of race and class, which I found very interesting, because Slow Food Kids cuts through a lot of these issues that can happen around identification of food vis-a-vis income, etc. And luckily, thanks to Grana Padano, we are also offering the parents at the end, you know, a nibble of some cheese. We actually have the whole Grana Padano wheel there, so the child and the parents understand that cheese, how is cheese made? It's actually this beautiful wheel that has an aging process. It isn't something in a plastic. And we made that decision this year with Grana Padano, which has recently been in the news a lot because of the earthquake. And I think that the earthquake in Italy, it further cements that it's a process. Making cheese is an artisan, it's a craftsmanship. And that is why we chose them as a partner, because not only, of course, is it just, it's a delicious cheese, it's used a lot as a nutritional snack with athletes and with young kids in Italy. And I wanted to show that concept. But more importantly, we made this decision to actually have the whole wheel in right as part of the taste adventure, so that children will understand that how cheese is made. It's not something that just is ready in 3 minutes, you know. It has an aging process. And that has gone down really well, seeing the children's, even the parents' reactions to seeing like a whole aged wheel of cheese has kind of been exciting this year. It's our first time doing it like that this year.
In fact, I wanted to pick up on what sort of reaction the children have. Can you describe some of the experiences you've seen with the children going on this taste adventure? How do they receive it? What's been their reaction?
I mean, it's funny how the simple things in life also work the best. Their reaction is, well, they like the aspect that it's a, you know, there's a game element, because they have to identify, working with our volunteers who are behind each station, what that food group is. You know, some kids are guessing five different types of things. We had one child who identified everything as a chip. You know, and that, which was, you know, I don't want to be dumb, but obviously it was, the kid before him was saying things like, you know, passion fruit and starfish. So that's where you start to really see, like, 2 5-year-olds who've had very different experiences, maybe at school, at home, etc., in the same neighborhood of London. This was at the, you know, in South London, identify in the same station with the same volunteer. So let's just say the variable was across the board consistent on the slow food side delivering the program. And, you know, different children, some didn't even know the names of any fruits or vegetables, you know, like bananas, or, you know, we have some basic fruits and veg out there. And then you have other kids who obviously have had a very different experience because they know the word passion fruit. So that has been a huge learning lesson for us, on not to assume and to make things just as fun and just as easy for a child that's had all different kinds of experiences at home. One of my strongest observations, you know, as head of this charity, is that we try in a nice way, if a parent starts telling a child, oh, if maybe they're touching broccoli or something, like, oh, you don't eat that, that maybe it's better not to reinforce, because a child can always change what they like and don't like. But overall, like, the impressions from the parents have been that, you know, comments like it's as great as sliced bread and all kinds of funny foodie comments, and that the simplicity of it, that it's a family experience. It really is typically a whole family. But we also take it to small village fetes, and it's available online on the Slow Food Kids project website, and we just ask for a donation to cover the cost of the collateral. We give little aprons. It's a whole experience.
If some of our listeners are interested in getting their school involved, or community center, or whatever, can you tell us what's the website and how to get in touch with Slow Food?
Sure. Then? No, very easy. I mean, Slow Food is on, you know, slowfood.org.uk. We have a whole education project section and Slow Food Kids. You just click on Slow Food Kids, and there's an online form where you explain, you know, are you a school, are you a community center, how many kids, how many passports we have to print.
As an aside, on a personal level, because you obviously have a passion for what you do and for food and for everything, how important is it for parents to involve their children in the whole cooking process?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you a funny story. I mean, my best friend is, you know, Indian Danish. She's an amazing cook, home cook, mother of two. And when she started what I was doing with Slow Food Kids, and, you know, I don't have a family yet. That's definitely on the agenda, but I don't have one yet. So I definitely rely on my friends who already have children. And she said that her 3-year-old was really having a not interested in eating bananas. Lots of different foods he wasn't eating. And I said, well, give them to me for the afternoon. Why don't we bake together? And then, of course, he tasted and ate what he made, you know, which was banana bread in this case. And, you know, I think it's just about engagement. And that's why everything Slow Food is doing in the UK around education, which is our main remit, involves the child. And it may sound funny, but like Slow Food Baby works better when the mother or father has the baby with them. I think it's a different experience for them. And we originally tried Slow Food Baby when we started piloting it, an interactive workshop without the child, so that the parents could focus. But actually, people prefer to have their little one with them.
Thank you. We'll leave it there for now. Thank you, Kat Gazzoli, CEO of Slow Food UK, and I'm not a baby, but I have noticed you have made me a cake.
Yes,
so I think I'm going to finish the interview and get on with the cake. Thank you.
Thanks, Lorenza.
Wow, we're not jealous because we've got cake in the studio too, Lorenza. So you don't just get all the great assignments.
We've got muffins here from Francesca.
So. If you've just joined us, it's the Parent Show. We're talking about our children's relationship with food, really, and what we can do to facilitate a good relationship. And we've been lucky enough to hear Kat Gazzoli from Slow Food UK. And we've got Francesca Barber in the studio who's been telling us about her. You know, she's a local mom. She runs cookery classes called Little Cookies in St Albans. So there's absolutely no excuses now, Lorenza, is there?
Well, there's also no coincidence that the three out of four have been Italian tonight. Italian
Gazzoli,
connection.
So Bacino.
Yeah. And the food, you know.
Francesca, you've brought in your muffins, which is very exciting. They're in front of us. We've already had one in the break.
Yep. That's what delicious. The children made this week. Not those ones, of course, because they always take them home. But I made up a fresh batch. But that was the recipe they cooked this week.
And we've had another listener text in while we were off air talking about allergies. Do you cater for children with allergies in your cooking classes?
Yes, I do. I try not to be I try to be as exclusive as possible. So children with nut, egg and dairy allergies can be catered for. Unfortunately, gluten allergies are more difficult. So I can't really cater for them, children with gluten allergies.
That's good to know. And what did you think of what Kat was saying about the slow food movement and the things that they do?
I was fascinated. Mm. It was sort of the comparison, actually, with what I'm doing, because I'd not heard of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've grown a lot in the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's all about the senses, and that is important, the tasting, touching, smelling.
And that's something you draw attention to.
Absolutely.
On your website, about the need for children to taste and feel and smell and touch. And,
that's right.
You know, as you pointed out, I think people are often scared of getting their kitchen messy. Yep. I'm one of those horrible parents.
Yep.
My children probably don't know what a passion fruit is, but I will make sure this week that they do. Is it easy for people to enrol in your classes? Because I do know that in St Albans a lot of the classes are packed and it's hard to get in.
Well, if they want to try little cookies out from September, if they want to drop me an email or give me a call, I can put their name down on the list.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thank you very, very much, Francesca. Okay. It's been our pleasure having you.
Thank you.
And thanks to Kat Gazzoli. I don't know if she's listening tonight. I'm going to try and play Hanson because they have a lovely song called Bop. I think that's quite appropriate, don't you guys?
Wonderful.
Enjoy.
Thanks, Francesca.
Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neve's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neve Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Now, thank you for joining us back on The Parent Show. We are talking tonight about our children's relationship with food and what we can do to facilitate a good one. So thank you for listening tonight. Now, moving on, we all know we're all talking about the Olympic torch in St Albans. Lorenza, did you join the festivities last week? Did you see the Olympic torch?
Not in St Albans. I saw it where I live in Barnet. My son carried it from his school to my daughter's school, which was very, very sweet. Not the real Olympic torch, their Olympic
torch.
But it was very sweet.
Well, we're hoping to have Sarah on the phone.
Yeah, hello.
How are you, Sarah?
I'm okay, thank you.
Sarah Hope. Now, Sarah, you are a local mum.
Yeah.
And you're going to be, is it true you're going to be one of the Olympic torchbearers, or were one of the Olympic torchbearers?
I'm going to be carrying the Paralympic torch.
Okay. And when will that be?
Well, they haven't given me the specific date yet. I think it's roughly about the 28th or the 29th of August.
Oh, so very, very exciting. And can you tell, I think you're representing a charity.
Yeah, I have my own charity that I'm representing.
And that's Elizabeth's Legacy of Hope.
That's it.
And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was set up a few years ago and then officially launched in May 2011. And it's called Elizabeth's Legacy of Hope because my name is Sarah Hope and my mother was Elizabeth. And in April 2007... we had a really bad accident, and my mother sadly died in the accident. And my daughter, who was two at the time, lost her leg. And it was all been really sad. But
yes.
We have set up a charity to help amputees in developing countries because we think, basically, my surgeon, who I've now become very friendly with, and he's now a patron of the charity, I was raising lots of money for the Limbless Association, and then he told me about something called the Jaipur limb, which is a prosthetic leg that can be bought for people in developing countries for £30.
Gosh.
So I set about raising money for this, because it just, gradually over the course of time, as I learned more about the Jaipur limb, mm-hmm. I started learning more about children in developing countries that just don't have any limbs at all.
Children in war-torn countries.
Children in war-torn countries, children in very poor countries. I mean, at the beginning, I started raising money for landmine victims, because that's sort of what I sort of knew about. But over the course of time, I realised that thousands of children lose their limbs because they, in very poor countries, and we've just been to Sierra Leone, they cook over fires, mm-hmm. and it's all they have is a fire to heat their water, to cook their food, to do their washing, everything. So there's literally, everywhere you look, fires all over the place. Mm-hmm. So children fall into the fires. They have sort of five people on the back of a motorbike, and they fall off the motorbike.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have shoes, so they get infections in their feet, and then they get a disease called osteomyelitis,
gosh.
Which means their legs completely swell up, and often they have to have their limbs amputated because of osteomyelitis. And then sadly, violence in a lot of the countries
mm-hmm,
too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's something we're familiar with, I think, from the war-torn countries. But unfortunately, that's, you know, that issue was so became so real for you through such a tragedy.
They became so real for me. And it's hard having a daughter with only one leg for many reasons. But Pollyanna has access to probably the best limbs available.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And her life is normal, happy, and very fulfilled. And to be honest with you, I think there's going to be many, many opportunities for her that even normal children don't have. For example, she's going to have a running blade next year, and maybe one day she'll take part in the Paralympics. You know, for a child without a limb in this country, they can live a very normal life. But for children without a limb at all, they just don't have a life, which is the very saddest thing.
It certainly is. And you've, Sarah, you've done so much for this particular issue. I mean, you've received many awards for your fundraising.
Yeah.
Do you have links abroad, or, you know, with through the charity? So if people contribute to the charity, where will the money go?
Well, the money, if people contribute to our charity, which I would love for them to do, and they can look at our website. Can I say what that is?
Of course, yes.
It's www.elizabethslegacyofhope.org.
.org, okay.
And they can read about how to contribute to the charity that way. At the moment, we are entirely run by voluntary. We're a voluntary organisation. So all the money goes directly towards helping the children. We have, in fact, it's very exciting I should be on the radio today, because we've literally formalised our link with the charity. We help charities already on the ground. And we're, at the moment, we have three charities we're helping. We have something called Friends of the Children of Tanzania.
Okay.
So we set up our own Jaipur Limb Centre in Tanzania.
Gosh, yeah.
Which is amazing, because we're helping thousands of children in Tanzania, and then we also have a mobile clinic, so we can go out and visit the villages.
And is this something your surgeon that you're linked with here is helping with as well?
Yeah, he helps a lot with it. we have we're very lucky. We have the help of a pro bono PR company in London who do
fantastic.
Lots of research for us.
Yeah,
which is absolutely brilliant, because I couldn't do it on my own. And We are helping a disabled school in Dar es Salaam, also in Tanzania. So we're giving legs to 17 very particular children there. And we've literally formalised a link with a charity called Street Child of Sierra Leone. And we formalised that link today, actually. And we have 66 beneficiaries in Sierra Leone.
Gosh, fantastic.
Who we're helping.
That's amazing. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. We're running out a little bit of time tonight. Everyone will be looking it up, I'm sure, Elizabeth's Legacy of Hope. And we wish you all the very best carrying the Paralympic torch in August. You're a very deserving person to be able to do that. So thanks so much and take care.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us on the Parents Show tonight. It's been a pleasure, Lorenza.
Thank you.
Having
despite
you in the studio.
All our problems
despite
and
our technical hitches. I do hope you all forgive us. It's a little bit tricky sometimes playing pre-records and live interviews. So thank you for staying with us and being patient. Now, you may have noticed we're missing the amazing Claire Healy. She is not here this evening with her What's On guide. But I just very, very briefly let you know, this weekend there is the Festival of British Archaeology at Verulamium Museum. That's on Saturday from 2 till 5 p.m. We've got Highland Gathering Sunday the 15th of July in Verulamium Park. Lorenza, what have you got?
I've got Race for Life St Albans on Sunday the 15th at 11. It's a 5k run, walk or jog to help breast cancer. So you can enter online, raceforlife.cancerresearchuk.org.
Fantastic. And we've also got a charity massage, which is sounds good, doesn't it? Mm. Saturday the 14th of July. A local massage therapist, Lucinda Cracknell, is giving us a few 10-minute massages if you donate a few pounds at St Albans Town Hall from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So there's no excuses really. Let's just hope the rain stays off. What do you think?
Oh, it's unspeakable at the moment.
I know. We haven't discussed the weather tonight. I'm very impressed.
Let's not.
So thank you for joining us tonight on the Parents Show. Thank you to our guests. Kat Gazzoli, she wasn't in the studio, but she nonetheless participated. Yeah, she was with us in spirit. And Francesca Barber from Little Cookies. And also, thank you for listening. It's been my pleasure. Have a very, very good evening. All the very best. Here's the news coming up in a couple of seconds' time. West.